With your permission, I'd like to share with you an idea which is actually not in Parshas Noach, but in Parshas Bereishis, which, because of the connection to the Yontif, we missed. We didn't have an opportunity to talk about. But I think there's a message there that's very timely. And basically, Rashi brings, it's a major discussion in the Rishonim, why the Torah begins with Bereishis Bo Elokim. And it should have, if it's a volume, if it's a manual of mitzvahs, the way we're supposed to conduct our lives, so it should start with the first mitzvah, and it's Tavo Bo Yisroel. And Rashi explains that in the future, there might be a problem. How prophetic, says that when the Umoy Sa'olam will come and say, who do you guys think you are? You took this nation, this land, that belonged to seven nations, and you appropriated it for yourself. You walked in there, you chased them out, you took over, you set up a whole government, a whole malchus, you know. Where do you come off to do such a thing? So the answer we will know is Koyach Masov Higid La'amoy Losis Lohem Nachlas Goyim. That the Torah tells us Hashem created the world. It's His. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Him. The whole world belongs to Him. He created it. And He has the right, the authority, the privilege, and in fact does so, gives it to those to whom He chooses. And He gave it to the Klal Yisrael. And this is the answer to the Umay Sa'olam at that time. And this is the answer to the world today. When anyone questions what right do we have to be in Eretz Yisrael, the answer is one right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Klal Yisrael. But herein comes a very sticky point. Because today, unfortunately, there's a lot that goes on in Eretz Yisrael which is very confusing. And there seems to be a misunderstanding of where the rights to this land come from. I'll never forget, it was an Erev Shavuos, must have been probably the early 80s. Not sure exactly, 81, 82. It was Erev Shavuos. I walked into my house and I see my wife crying. What are you crying about? What happened? She says, I just heard Menachem Begin speaking on the radio. He was being interviewed. And they asked him, Mr. Begin, what would you be willing to give or to give up in order for the Arab world to recognize Israel's right to exist? And Begin, in his inimitable way, said, I am not concerned about that recognition at all, because our right to exist was granted to us by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob 4,000 years ago. And therefore, we're not concerned about who approves or who sanctions or who grants us the rights to Eretz Yisrael. And that was really the truth. Our rights were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to keep that in mind. And today, there are too many people that believe that they have the right. We are the duly elected government. The duly elected government does not have any more rights to Eretz Yisrael over the Klal Yisrael to whom it was given. It was not given to any duly elected government. It was given to Klal Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. And that's extremely important. And once we know that, and once we know that the rights that we have to Eretz Yisrael come to us directly from the Creator Himself, there's something else we have to know too. That we continue to have the right to Eretz Yisrael in the schus of the Torah that we have, in the schus of the learning of Torah, in the schus of the Shmiras HaMitzvos. And that's our only right, and that's our only angle, and that's our only security that we have. And therefore, I suggest to you that the truth of the matter is that it's only the proliferation, the expansion of yeshivas, and so many yeshiva, like, you know, at the in the mid-1940s, the whatever it is, 1948, around that time when the state of Israel was established, there maybe were 400 yeshiva bochurim in Eretz Yisrael. Today, I don't know what it is, the latest number, 100,000 in Yerushalayim alone. The numbers are staggering by comparison. And some would say, hey, what are these guys doing? Well, what are they doing? You're sitting in yeshiva, they're learning. What's this all about? They learned it all already. How many times can you learn the same thing? They know it all. They should know it all. If they don't know it all, it's too late. What's going to be with them? We need them in the army. We need them. We need them in the army. Like we need a hole in the... We need them in the army on the Arab side, maybe. That could be. But anyway, what... You know, we have to realize that the schus that we have is only the schus HaTorah. And the more that B'nai Torah are sitting and learning in Eretz Yisrael, and I dare say, even the more that B'nai Torah are sitting and learning in Chutz La'aretz, that's the schus kiyum that Klal Yisrael has. And I think that's very important to keep in mind. Number one, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the entire Jewish people because Hashem gave it to us. And that's our claim. And that's our legitimate claim. That's the legitimacy of our claim. And number two, that it's the Zchus HaTorah that keeps us in Eretz Yisrael, that keeps us alive. And I want to share with you just a small footnote in modern Jewish history, so to speak. There was a time in the early days of the establishment of the state where they recognized from the very beginning that yeshiva bochurim have to have an exemption from the army. There was no question about it. That has been the status quo since the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, and only recently have they begun to challenge that for some bizarre reason, which seems to be the desire to undermine the proliferation, the development of the Haredi community, the religious community, because the numbers are becoming staggering. You know, the average Israeli, the average Chiloni, the average secular Israeli has 1.5 children. Now, don't ask me what you do with the half a child, I'm not sure. But they have an average of 1.5 children, whereas the Haredim have an average of 10, 12, 15, you know, something like that must be the average. So the numbers are, in the next generation, they're going to take over. And the non-religious, the secular Jews in Israel are very concerned about that. You know, I understand the concern that they have because it will change the whole complexion of the Israeli society. So they're concerned. But from the beginning of time, there was an exemption for yeshiva bochurim from the army. In every civilized country that I know of, the United States, I remember in my day when there was a time when there was a draft, where you used to draft not just volunteer army and clergy or students of the clergy, religious students, had a deferment. That was a tikkun. A lot of people were joining yeshivas all of a sudden. But anyway, but there was a deferment. A clergy deferment is something because every civilized nation realizes that we need clergymen to service our people, because a nation that is built totally on secularism or totally on hedonism or pleasure or money or any of these false gods is not going to survive. There have to be spiritual teachers and spiritual counselors and spiritual guides, and this is what we need. So there always was such a thing, in Israel too. But they wanted to do something where they would have girls not be in the army, that they realized that they couldn't get from the religious girls, but that they would do what they called Sherut Leumi. They would do some national service. They would go out to small little communities and teach there and help in the hospitals and this. And it really was a very dangerous thing for these girls because they were single girls, young girls, 17, 18, 19, and to be all alone without family in communities that were quite liberal in their morals and their values was a dangerous thing. And therefore, the Das Torah was against it. Ben-Gurion, who was the prime minister at the time, came to speak to Chazon Ish, and Chazon Ish was willing to see him. And he explained to him what was involved in this, and that was the end of that. Nothing happened, but that was the meeting they had. Then he wanted to see the other Godel of the time, the giant of the generation in Eretz Yisrael, was the Briskarov. He wanted to see him, and the Briskarov refused to meet him. The Briskarov had that very strident shita that he's not meeting him, you know, he has no authority, who is he, I don't recognize him, I'm not going to meet him. But he sent him a message. And he sent him the following message. He said, draft the yeshiva bochrim, but leave the girls alone. Draft the yeshiva bochrim, take away the tour for the yeshiva bochrim, let them go into the army, but not the girls. And Ben-Gurion, this was described to me by someone who knew, Ben-Gurion went wild. He said, Husideroti, he fixed my wagon. Why? Because the Briskarov knew that Ben-Gurion knew that he couldn't draft yeshiva bochrim. That there had to be an exemption for yeshiva bochrim. If not, I don't know whether he knew it from a religious perspective or from a historical perspective or a sociological perspective or from a political perspective, I don't know. But he knew that he cannot take away that exemption from yeshiva bochrim. And he knew, and the Rav knew that. And therefore he told him, draft the yeshiva bochrim, because he knew Ben-Gurion knew he couldn't do that. Rather than the girls, that whole issue was dropped. So this has been the attitude from the beginning of time. Today, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of tumult and turmoil about this issue. Now, there are two legitimate positions in Das Torah about how to deal with it. One position is that, you know, they want everyone to register now, and then gradually they're going to develop quotas. I think they have already a quota, how many Haredim have to be in the army in the first year, in the second year, in the third year. They got a 4-year program, a 5-year program, I don't know exactly, and so forth. That one position is register, and that's it, but we won't go any further. We're not going to let them force us to do anything. The other position is, once you register and you give in a little bit, then, you know, you give them a finger, they'll take the hand. So there's two different opinions about that, and those different opinions, unfortunately, are causing a lot of confusion in the minds of a lot of people. But that's just the way it is. But there is no difference of opinion about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is ours, belongs to the entirety of the Jewish people, not just people who may have been elected or self-appointed as the leaders and representatives of the Klal Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael was not won in 1948 by a war against the Arabs, was not granted its legitimacy by the United Nations or even by the League of Nations in 1917, that was the Balfour Declaration, but that was granted by the world permission to have a homeland. No, it was granted to us by the Creator. And we still have a Shaychus, and we live there, and we survive there miraculously, Bizchus HaTorah. And I think that's the lesson that we have to get from that Bereishis Bore Elokim. And I think that's the message that we have to keep in mind, especially in times like this when we see so much confusion. And there is a battle going on. It's really a battle between secularism and Yahadus. It's a battle that's been going on for thousands of years on one level or another. Unfortunately, now it's amongst ourselves fighting within, not just the outside world, trying to secularize us. And we have to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our own learning, so that in the Zchus HaTorah, that the Klal Yisrael will remain the legitimate inhabitants and owners of Eretz Yisrael, and appreciate that this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the purpose of serving Him and learning His Torah and performing His mitzvahs. And hopefully in that zchus we should see that the time will come in the very near future when there will be Uvol and Tzion Goyel, and there will be the final Geula, and all of this politics and fighting and other tzaras that we have will all be a thing of the past.